Blog Talk Radio.
Matthew, I am William Ramo. What's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, not much, man. Well, you know, normally I leave off the show with a little baseball. No pun intended, but I guess we're gonna lead off with the women's soccer, which just ended, like, say about an hour ago. Then we'll switch gears to the baseball as Mets lose 2 out of 3 to the Phillies and lose by the final score of 8-4. We'll also talk about the Yankees and talk about the NFL close to ending their strike. So NBA, even though there's nothing really to talk about. And lastly, Money in the Bank.
Yep.
So, you know, without further ado, and of course, feel free anybody to call in. You know the number. But leading off, let's talk a little women's soccer here. And as you all know, the women's USA team they got beaten by the Japanese team, due to penalty kicks. It was 2-2 until they got to the penalty kicks, and USA missed their first 2 or 3 kicks.
Yeah, the first 3, I think.
Yeah, I think it was their first 3. And I think they scored a goal or two, but, they couldn't tie the penalty kick, and thus Japan is the new World Cup champions. Congratulations to Japan. And, you know, what were you going to say, Mahmoud?
I was going to say that they deserve it. I mean, after the hurricanes and earthquakes that they endured earlier this year in Japan, you know, they deserve to win the World Cup.
Yeah, it was a equally fought, you know, World Cup. I mean, you know, USA, you know, just like last year, you know, like the men's World Cup team, you know, they got the American, you know, us casual Americans to, you know, get interested in soccer and go for, our team. But it wasn't the case.
But unlike the men, the women have actually won it before.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I was about to get to that. It's like you read my mind again, man. You know, the women's team, I think this would have been their first time since of winning the cup. And the women's team, I mean, let's face it, I mean, they're the best, historically, they're the best, you know, soccer team. They're better than the men's team.
Yeah, of course.
You know, the men definitely need to step up their game, you know, for them to, you know, be on the level of the women's soccer team. But
yep.
You got to give the guys credit last year. I mean, they did play well until they faced Angola and, you know, got eliminated. But
yeah, well, maybe
next time is the charm.
3 years from now, maybe.
Yeah.
Or 2 years from now, whatever it is.
Yeah, but the ladies, I know they're, you know, pretty PO'd because, you know, they got this close to the, you know, to the cup, and, you know, fortunately they couldn't hold on to those leads because it seemed literally every time USA jumped out to a lead, Japan in like in the last minute or so, you know, tied the game.
And those lesbians will get over it.
Well,
they'll get over
it. It was a great cup, you know. They were evenly matched. It kind of reminded me of the Iron Man match, you know, between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart.
Oh, really?
You know how they just kept going back and forth. Well, except for the original Iron Man didn't really score any.
Oh.
Calls or anything, but it was like they were evenly matched.
Right.
Kept going back and forth, and nobody want to lose.
Yeah.
But you know, you just gotta tip your hat to the Team Japan. You know they got the goal, the penalty kicks, and they won.
Yeah, they are the better team today. So.
Yeah, and it looked like Hope Solo, the goalie, she got hurt, but you know. He gutted it out.
Yeah.
You gotta tip your hat to the other team. They got the goals.
Congrats to them. I mean, this will uplift their country after all of the horrible natural disasters they've endured this past year.
Right.
So.
Yeah, definitely. And with that, I guess we'll shift gears to the Mets here. You know, they lost the first game 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
Ari Dickey, you know, the Yankees fans' favorite pitcher, you know, he didn't have it. Got his butt kicked by the Phillies. And by Vance Worley, you know, Vance Worley pitched a good game against the Mets that game Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, Mets bounced back against the choke artist himself, Cole Hamels. Ever since he talked smack about the Mets, he can't beat them. And now he's a career. And now he's 3-for-10 with a 4.48 ERA. So, you know, hopefully we'll just keep kicking his butt. You know, I wish we were facing Cole Hamels again today, but Kyle Kendrick, he beat the Mets, and Mike Pelfrey, who, I mean, come on, I'll drive him to the airport. I mean, this guy. It's pretty apparent that this guy's never going to amount to anything as a Met. And what I fear is that as soon as we trade this guy, he's going to get to like a pitching coach, like what's the name of that pitcher? I'm trying to think of that pitching coach with the Cardinals. So it was Dave Duncan, or maybe Leo Mazzoni, that former Braves pitching coach, a pitching coach that. you know, who turns people's, you know, careers around. Then tells me once he go, you know, he goes to another team with a, you know, with a great pitching coach, you know, he could maybe bounce, you know, get his career back on track and finally live up to that potential and maybe throw a no-hitter.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see it. I mean, he has potential. He just hasn't lived up to his potential.
It's like, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, Benitez. It's like, you know, you got the power, you know. He got the stuff, you know. He throws 93, 94. But he doesn't have the ability to strike people out when he needs to.
Yeah.
And he's not that great ground ball pitcher as he used to be. I mean, you know, this guy, I mean, historically he pitches better at home, but away he pitched horrible. But against the NL East teams, his divisions, you know, in the NL East division, he's horrible against them. He can't beat anybody, man. So.
Yeah.
Shoot, I don't even know if he ever beat Marlins in his career. That's another story for another time. But, I mean, this guy, I mean, you know, this guy was ordained the ace at the start of the season, and he's easily the weakest link.
Yeah, well, you'd have to get his act together sooner or later, or else they'll treat him. They already traded K-Rod, but that was because of financial
issues. Yeah. And these last couple of games, I mean, they haven't needed K-Rod.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And Beato, who's one of the guys who's supposed to come out of the – who's supposed to be a potential closer, because they're going to split the closing job between Beato, you know, the rookie, Parnell, you know, the setup guy, the hard-throwing setup man, and, of course, the veteran and two-time Met, Jason Isringhausen, who's gonna get the closing duties whenever it pops up, you know.
Oh, okay.
Eventually with this team, because they're not getting themselves in the safe situation, but then again, Saturday, they didn't need a closer.
Right.
That's pretty much all you can say about the Mets. You know, they need to play better. I mean, they're a 500 team, and they're gonna need to play better these last 2 weeks so they could you know, hopefully
in the wild card
try to you know, get into the wild card race as the trading deadline. We get closer to the trading deadline.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure,
how did you feel when they traded away K-Rod? I mean, I thought it was a dumb move because they're still in the wild card race. Why trade him now?
Well, I mean, I like K-Rod. You know, I've always been a fan of that guy ever since, you know, he was on the Angels. You know, he came out of nowhere and he's just striking out the Yankees. I mean, of course, you know, I don't have any love for the Yankees. So
right.
I was like, man, even then I'm like, man, I wish I had I hope this guy's my closer, man. But, you know, it happened. But bottom line is, you know, Manaea, you know, foolishly gave him that $17.5 million option, which is, I mean, flat out ridiculous for anybody. But especially a closer, I mean, who pitches, I mean, who, you know, I mean, he, you know, he doesn't practically pitch every day, I mean, unless it's a save situation.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know, an enormous amount of money, and pretty much the Mets is having a budget. So if that $17.5 million option kicked in, that would have most likely prevented them from going after Reyes. So being able to, you know, spend the money
on Reyes. They could have waited a little bit.
But you know what's the funny thing? Is that as soon as he got traded to Brewers, even though he didn't want to be traded. Here's the weird story of it all. K-Rod switched agents. His agent used to be Paul Kinsler, but he switched the day before he got traded to Brewers. He switched to Boris.
Oh, wow!
And apparently, his former agent, Kinsler, didn't submit the no-trade list, which includes Brewers in it. So, technically, he has a no-trade clause to the Brewers, but somehow with the paperwork, it didn't get finalized, and he got traded to a team that was supposed to be on his no-trade clause.
Oh, he doesn't. I guess he doesn't mind it. I mean,
well,
the Brewers are in contention right now, so.
Yeah, but here's what happened. After he got the Brewers were saying that they were going to split the duties, so that was another thing that made K-Rod even more unhappy. So K-Rod agreed to waive his $17.5 million option for next year, and he thus gets a buyout for $4 million, and then he becomes a free agent at the end of next year. At the end of this year, I should say.
Oh. So he's giving you a free agent after this year?
Yes. Because he waived his $17.5 million option because, you know, he wanted to be guaranteed that he'd get close. He closes because the stipulation was he was supposed to pitch 55 games. He has to pitch 55 games this year, and that option will automatically kick in.
Yeah.
So right now it would have been, by the time of the trade, he needed 21 more innings for him to reach the 55 appearance.
Right.
To kick in the thing. So now that he see that the Brewers are most likely going to use him as a setup man, and, you know, not use him as much, he agreed to take away the option. So now they could use him as, they could close him as many times as he want, and the option won't appear.
That's good.
That shows you right there how much he wanted out of Brewers.
Well, next year probably he'll go somewhere. Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to the Red Sox.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either because Papelbon, I think, was on his last year also.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Papelbon for years said he wants to be a starter. So I don't know.
We'll see about that.
Yeah, I think he'd be like the second guy probably ever after Derek Lowe or John Smoltz come out being a closer, you know, a successful closer, and you're going back to starting pitching.
I think Papelbon could do it. Has the stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's young enough.
Yeah.
But then again, he might have the Jabba factor, and, you know, that can injure his arm, you know, the back and forth going from closer to starter.
Maybe.
And another interesting story, Brandon Phillips, the all-star second baseman for the Reds, he was promoting an event for, I think, Under Armour. You know that sports gear stuff?
What is it called?
Under Armour. It's like, I don't know, like sports t-shirts and, you know, sports, you know, clothing, wear. Him and Reyes and other players were at an event, and apparently he was saying that, you never know. They asked him what's his favorite place to play, and he said Citi Field. And then he looked at Reyes and said, hey, you never know, maybe me and him might be playing, with each other.
Oh, that'd be interesting. He's a third baseman, isn't he?
No, he's a second baseman.
Oh, second baseman. Okay.
I mean, I don't see it happening because, I mean, they're going to, you know, they're trying to resign Reyes, you know.
Yeah, so.
Let's see, he comes on the cheap. And plus Tejada, I mean, he's playing well also. But, I mean, he's not Brandon Phillips, but.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, you never know.
But the Mets' main priority is to sign Reyes this offseason.
Yeah, exactly, because I doubt they're going to go after anybody else.
Yeah.
Especially not, you know, Prince Field or anybody, or Pujols or anybody of that, you know, huge status.
Right.
Yeah, let's face it, folks. Mets is most likely going to be in a rebuilding mode for these next couple of years.
Yeah.
And most likely trade Beltran. But unlike the K-Rod deal, which was pretty much a salary dump, they want a grade A type prospect. for Beltran. Or they'll just, or else they'll just hold on to him and try to, you know, do a have a playoff push.
Beltran?
Yeah, because there's like 6 or 7 teams that are interested in Beltran, but Mets are insisting so far that they need at least, you know, a top prospect.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see it. I mean, I could see a team giving it, you know, paying for Beltran, but I could see a B-type prospect. And another thing, whoever has Beltran for the rest of the year, next year they can't offer him salary arbitration, meaning that if he leaves them, they won't get any draft picks as compensation, you know, if he leaves them through free agency.
Why don't Beltran just retire? He's getting up there.
Yeah, that is true, but he is bounced. He's bounced back. You know, he had 13 home runs or so.
That's true.
He's having a good year. I mean, he's not having a great year, but you know, he's having a pretty, you know, pretty good year so far.
Oh well, then why don't you guys take him back then?
I think Mets have you know, but it looks like the Mets have crossed that bridge. And remember, Boris is his client, so you know this guy's going to most likely want multiple years and huge salary, but then again,
yeah,
he does say he wants to come back. But then again, Boris is his agent. I'll believe it when I see it in writing.
Well, if he comes back, then he comes back. If he doesn't, oh well.
So, did the Yanks play today?
Yeah, my boys won 2 out of 3. Actually, 2 out of 4. They lost the first 2 games to the Blue Jays.
Right.
And they ended up winning these next 2 games. Yesterday, CC Sabathia
won his 14, yep.
Yep. Beat the Blue Jays yesterday. And today, Phil Hughes got his first win of the season. And he showed a new curveball grip with a new delivery. And, you know, he pitched pretty good today. Only allowed about 2 runs. Pitched 6 innings. So he pitched good today. And, yeah, the Yankees, they played, you know, they didn't hit any home run today, but they played some small ball, you know, sacrifice flies, singles, doubles, stolen bases, you know. And they beat the Blue Jays in Toronto. And so we went 2 out of 4, and we're still behind the Red Sox right now in the standings, but we're getting closer.
Yeah, what are you, like a game and a half or a game or so?
I think it's a game right now. It's just a game. So
the Sox haven't played yet, or they played?
I think they played tonight on ESPN against the Tampa Bay Rays. And we played the Rays on Monday or Tuesday.
You going to check out that game, the Red Sox, or you'll just find out the standings tomorrow?
Maybe I'll see some of it. But, yeah, I don't plan on spending my Sunday night watching the Red Sox.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you, man. I mean, sitting down and watching, 3 hours, I mean, for your own team, I mean, is, you know, it takes a lot of time.
That is true.
That'd be like a marathon.
Yeah, no, thanks. I'll probably watch Big Brother or something.
All right, it is tonight. At 8 o'clock, right?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely going to check that out.
Yep.
But switching gears, let's see. The NFL, they're close to, you know, an agreement. But like I said about the whole Beltran thing, I believe it when I see it in writing. So all sides look like they're close, but hopefully they'll get something done, and hopefully the NBA, NBA one is like worlds apart.
Yeah, the NFL, they better be close, because I want my football to start early, goddammit.
Exactly.
Shit. And that's the number one, that's America's sport right now. We need the football.
Yeah, it surpasses baseball. The last couple of years, because of the parity, between all these teams. I mean, literally any year, I mean, with the exception of a few teams, you know, the Patriots, Indianapolis, the Jets these past couple of years. I mean, other than that, it's a crapshoot who's going to come out of the, you know, out of the division.
Yeah, I mean, want my football. God damn it. They better get that agreement.
They should invite you into the negotiation. Maybe they'll agreement right away.
Yeah, come on, because, I mean, baseball's going to end in later this year, and that's the time football starts. So can't have no – you got to have football in the fall.
Exactly. Because once baseball's gone, there ain't going to be nothing, man.
Yeah. There might not even be any basketball, so.
I don't think there's going to be any basketball. The way how they're acting, man. Damn, I want to get this over with so I could, you know, see, you know, who we're going to sign, you know, so we could try to get ourselves, you know, back to respectability over here.
Yeah. I mean, come on. What are you waiting for?
I know. Couldn't they have had the lockout during the Boston versus Knicks series? At least give us some hope that we could have beat them. Beat the game, maybe. But I'm pretty sure in these next couple of months we'll have plenty of time to talk about this NBA lockout. But I guess we'll switch lastly to Money in the Bank tonight, man.
Money in the Bank.
Man, this is probably the most hyped pay-per-view event since WrestleMania 27 this year.
Yep. Got the big match between CM Punk and John Cena. Championship.
And I was reading online, Chavo Guerrero, who recently who joined the list of millions of former wrestlers who asked for their release, you know, this year alone. But he was saying that how, you know, he knows Punk is going to bring it, but, you know, he hopes Cena, you know, quits the BS comeback thing, you know, moves that Cena does, which pretty much people, you know, also call it the five moves of doom.
Mm-hmm.
When Cena does the two tackle, shoulder tackles, then his opponent throws a punch, which Cena ducks. A side slam or something?
Yeah.
There's the five knuckle shuffle, and then of course the attitude adjustment or the STFU.
Right.
Hopefully Cena, you know, will add some more moves to his tricks, because, you know, we all know Punk is definitely gonna be on his A game.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good match just to see.
Yeah,
it's not like Cena hasn't been seeing a Punk before.
Well, yeah, of course. And we all expect most likely Cena's going to win.
Of course.
Especially with the stipulation, you know, if he loses, he's fired. And kudos for CM Punk, who admitted that, come on, let's be real, you know, he's not going to get fired. And when he was suspended, he only spent, what, a month? A week gone or something?
Yeah, not even.
Yeah, for real.
It'll be a good match tonight.
Yeah, it will be.
But I think Cena's gonna win.
And you're more faster than a win, Dad. So, you know, the world has waited. The whole person has waited. But, Wade Barrett, I think, is gonna win. SmackDown one. And then, if CM Punk wins, challenge him, you know, catches it and
Yeah.
And maybe take leadership of Nexus. So that core group, as Wade Barrett admitted this week, was his worst decision on this group.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I hope our two friends
are
the ones that thank for all.
Yeah.
Can we think about anything else?
The Divas match?
Who's even fighting?
I don't really know.
But, well, you know, with that, another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthews. I am, of course, William Ramon. See you guys next.